Gilman and Company, 102.5, 106.3, the game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. We are presented by the Southern Bank of Tennessee. So today was the final day of mandatory minicamp. The Titans are off until training camp starts on July 22nd. And today, Cam Ward, we had TD in. TD said, hey, made some mistakes throwing the football, some choices that, you know, hey, he's learning how far he can get away with some of these talented plays that he's made in the past, so on and so forth. So I'm not going to get too caught up in the fact that Cam Ward threw some interceptions. He threw some interceptions throughout the course of the week. Again, Lamar Jackson played a preseason game in Indianapolis his rookie year that is some of the worst quarterback football I've ever seen in my life. And then Lamar Jackson had a playoff game that same year against the Chargers. That if that preseason game in Indianapolis wasn't some of the worst quarterback play I've seen in my life, that playoff game against the Chargers was some of the worst quarterback play I've ever seen in my life. David James, I know you remember that one.
It was really bad.
I mean, it was bad. So I'm not going to get too caught up one way or another. I think Lamar Jackson's had a pretty good career. So I'm not going to get caught up one way or another on that. But there's one thing I saw today. After practice was over, Cam met with the media. And I saw this, and I already know Titans fans. I can hear it, social media. Yeah! But I find this to be the single most impossible thing I have ever heard. Some of the biggest bullcrap that I have ever heard come out of a Titan player's mouth. And it happened to be Cam Ward. The question he's being asked is, what is your confidence level on a scale of 1 to 10? Play the cut. On a scale of 1 to 10, how confident are you heading into training camp? 10. Are you ever a 4 or a 5 or a 6? No. That is impossible. That is not possible. This guy has never taken a snap in the NFL, and you're going to tell me that your confidence is at a 10. And again, I already know. I don't have the YouTube chat pulled up, but I can just hear the distinguished gentleman. Yeah! Yeah! And then doing that like emoji where you put your hand over your mouth or whatever. I can just see it. I can see it. Jared Cam's confident. You'll see. That's not how confidence works. Again, I said this last week when we talked about Cam's confidence. And I said, you can't be confident when you haven't done something before. You can be optimistic. You can be hopeful. You can have those things. You can be positive. But you cannot be confident. Confidence only happens when you achieve something, when you have done it. And again, Cam Ward was great in college, but so was Heath Shuler. And so was Andre Ware. And so was Vince Young. And so on and so forth. Like, who cares if you're good in college? And no disrespect to Cam, but Cam Ward wasn't that good in college. Did Cam Ward win the Heisman? No, sir, he did not. Did Cam Ward win the College Football National Championship? No, sir, he did not. Did Cam Ward ever get to the playoff? No, sir, he did not. Now, if he played better against Georgia Tech or he played better against Syracuse, he would have been in the College Football playoff. So this, oh, I'm 10 out of 10. I'm always going to be confident. I'm always going to be a gunslinger. I'm always going to be a sure. Again, I'm sure you guys can say, hey, he's confident, Jared. What do you expect him to say? What is he going to say? He's not confident? Again, Cam Ward doesn't have to say 10 out of 10. That is the biggest load of bullcrap I've ever heard. That would be like asking me what my GPA was in college. And by the way, I have no idea what my GPA was. But if you were to ask me, what was your GPA at Louisville? And I said, 4.0. You'd say, that's bullcrap. When Cam says 10 out of 10, that's ridiculous. And if you think, oh no, Jared, you don't understand. Cam's confident. You're not confident like Cam is. Cam's in it. This is Bill Belichick from his audiobook on confidence. And again, I would think Bill kind of knows a thing or two. Here's what Bill said about confidence and developing it.
Confidence is an epiphenomenon. It doesn't exist in a vacuum or independently of everything else. It's relational. And yet these days, confidence has become a product people think they can pick up off a shelf. I've heard it all over the years. Confidence at work, confidence in dating, confidence in everything. Come on down and pick up your confidence. No strings attached. Here's the truth. You cannot buy confidence. You cannot learn it. You cannot teach it. And you sure as hell won't get it from reading or listening to this chapter or this book. As far as I'm concerned, confidence isn't even something to strive for. It's something that you exhibit when you strive for something in the right way. But that's not very selling, so my publisher would probably prefer me to put it this way. I can't force you to be confident, but I can help you understand where it comes from.
Ding, 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 ding. You can't just say, oh, I'm confident. He's confident. No, you can look at it and you can say, hey, man, I mean, I've been playing football my whole life and I'm just going to keep going out there and playing football. Because, again, you want to know how you become confident? You become confident by doing. And Cam Ward hasn't done anything. So I understand, hey, man, I'm excited to get out there in the NFL and to see how well I can play. And I'm excited to go out and try to help my team win the game. And I think I can do this because, you know, I really grew in college and I've played against some of these guys out there. Again, optimism, hope, that's fine. You can be hopeful. You can be positive. I would prefer in his position to be positive, but you can't be confident. You cannot be confident in something you've never done. And let's use today's practice as an example, because once again, when it comes to confidence and it comes to Cam Ward's confidence, Cam Ward threw three interceptions today at practice, right? Again, I'm not making a big deal out of it because, like I said, Lamar Jackson's performance in that Indianapolis preseason game, some of the worst football I've ever seen, and he turned out just fine. But at the same time, you threw three interceptions today. Now, let's say that this is a real game where you think, hey, I'm going to roll out to the right, and here comes the rush, and because this worked in college in the ACC, I'm going to throw off the back foot, I throw across my body, and there's a linebacker just like Cody Barton was there today who picks it off and intercepts it. And let's say that happens two more times. You mean to tell me your confidence is going to be 10 out of 10 the next day? That is not possible. It's just not possible. So, again, like, I understand Cam Ward, you know, he's got this persona, I guess, he wants people to believe in. And Chad Brinker said before the draft that he's confident, he's not cocky. I'm sorry. When you sit there and you tell me that you are a 10 out of 10 on your confidence, that is arrogant. That, to me, is ridiculous. And I've had players that have been in the Hall of Fame that have told me, this game will humble you. You may think you're the bee's knees. This game will humble you. Let's ask Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston was one of the most decorated college players you could be. He won the Heisman Trophy. He won the national championship as a starting quarterback in college. Jameis Winston lost one game. Unlike Cam Ward, Jameis Winston actually is big and tall, like you would want a number one pick in the draft to be at quarterback. Jameis Winston was awesome in college. I watched Jameis Winston engineer a second half comeback against Louisville. I stood on the sidelines and watched the whole thing. I thought Jameis Winston was going to the NFL and was going to be a superstar. Now, do you think Jameis Winston would tell you, hey, I'm a 10 out of 10 confidence? Well, Jameis might say a lot of things. But do you think Jameis Winston is really 10 out of 10 when it comes to confidence? After the interceptions he threw in Tampa Bay, after the fact that when he was a free agent, nobody wanted him to start, to the benching that he ended up with, you know, in Cleveland, and he's turned into a career backup. Even right now, he has no chance of being the starting quarterback for the New York Giants. None. Because Russell Wilson is the starter, and Jackson Dart is the eventual starter. And Jameis Winston had accomplished a lot more up until this point than Cam Ward had. I'm just saying, again, do I think that this makes it that big of a deal? Like, oh, because Cam Ward said something that is, again, incredibly dishonest. It's just not even possible for this to be true. But again, I'm sure people, yeah, this is going to be great. Cam, he's so confident. Oh, yeah. Like, do you think that because of that, that all of a sudden Cam Ward is going to go out there, throw three picks, and be totally fine? Because, again, that doesn't make sense. Belichick's right in his book when Belichick says, I can tell you where it comes from. You want to know where confidence is going to come from with Cam Ward? It's going to come from learning from his mistakes, getting better, going out there on the practice field, and having success. And then taking that from the practice field into the joint practices. And then from the joint practices to the preseason games. And then to the games. That's where you get confidence. Again, 10 out of 10. Are you ever a 4, a 5, or a 6? No. I think it's well documented by everybody else on the station that I think I'm pretty good. I will tell you, there are some days, there are some months, there are some quarters where I think I'm better and some where I think I'm worse. And again, I've been doing this a lot longer than Cam. And that's coming from someone who, once again, knows that everybody thinks that I think I'm just so great. But I would never tell you that my confidence as a radio host is a 10 out of 10 or that it never fluctuates. That's just not possible. It is not possible. And so when I hear stuff like that, I get so ticked off because it's so fake. It's so phony. Cam Ward, don't be phony. 615-737-1025 is the phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll get to your phones next. I'm going to come to you, 1025-106 for the game.
What are you hoping to see out of Cam out of this final day? And kind of how would you evaluate his performance as a whole in this short week?
Progressed. You know, he's gotten better every time he stepped out. Every situation, a lot of things are new, and every time he did it again or had an opportunity to see the rep again, did a nice job of taking the coaching points and improving on the next time out. And today will be his third time down here in the red zone. That's important. That's another critical area we need to improve in. And that timing happens, everything happens faster. The windows are much more condensed, and it's always good. It's just you can't get enough work down in the red zone. So that's another nice way to cap off the camp for us is to work down there in the short part of the field and see if he's improved from the last time. So excited about that.
There you go. That was Brian Callahan today. Apparently it was not a great day for Cam Ward, but that's okay. He's still a 10 out of 10 in terms of his own confidence. I did promise phones, so we'll get to some of that. I do want to play this because, again, when Cam Ward says something like, oh, I'm a 10 out of 10 confidence, there's this, yeah, that I just know Titans fans say, like, that's our guy. He's so confident. He's going to be the best. He's this. He's that. When he says, hey, I'm a gunslinger. Uh-huh. When he says that, I'm like, okay, Brett Favre. Like, easy. Like, let's learn how to play in the NFL first. And then we can start saying stuff like that. Let's not say this stuff. It takes me back to something I want to play. This was last year. This was August of last year, Bussin' with the Boys. So Will Levis went on Bussin' with the Boys, and this is the producer from Bussin' with the Boys. And I want you to hear this because this is going to sound so sad in retrospect given the season that Levis had. But again, this is the way that the fan base gets when they've made up their mind that they want something to be true, even though if there's no evidence if it is true or not. This, again, last August, this is Bussin' with the Boys and Will Levis is talking to the producer.
Jack, you didn't mess with Will Levis at first, right?
Don't do this.
You got the photo of him jumping over Tennessee, and it was kind of making me think. I was like, wait a minute. No, Jack was kind of, before the draft happened.
Will, I'm Jack. Nice to meet you.
Tell him what happened.
Lifelong Titans fan. All right, so when you were not selected in the first round, I put out a tweet And it was like, when you don't select Will in the first round, it's some like dumb dancing gif. And it was nothing against you. It was purely for the value play. The second round when we got you, I was
before
like,
before that week,
awesome.
Though, I'm bussing. You're like, I hope we don't get
well, Will. I'm a Tennessee guy. I'm a Tennessee fan. So, you know, previous season, it was fun to go back and forth. So you have a rival quarterback coming into Tennessee and, you know, you want to have as much fun with it as possible. But when you got selected in the second round, and then when you had your first breakout game with the Titans, when you and D-Hop had those, like, Matt, what was it, 3 TDs, something like that, I did my due diligence, and in the parking lot afterwards, I said, I was wrong. And I said, I'm fully on the Levis train, and I want him to be as successful as he can, whether it's with the Titans or somebody else. So I'm fucking stoked. I've been singing your praises around town. I know you're going to be a dog out there. So, but it takes a man to admit when he was wrong.
I mean, it's just pure on knees, just, oh, yes, yes, yes. And it's like, guys, we don't have to be that pathetic. It's okay. Like, I remember walking around my neighborhood listening to that. Because, again, when the quarterback goes on, does a podcast, this is the starting quarterback. If Levis were to go on Bussing with the Boys now, I would not be listening to it. The quarterback goes on and does a podcast. Part of the job, got to listen to hear what he says. And I'm listening to this, and I'm like, this is so sad. This guy's never played. We have no idea if this guy's any good. We have no idea. And instead it was, I mean, I thought you were a terrible pick, but now I'm like, man, I was so wrong. You're going to be a dog on the field. You're going to be awesome. You're going to be, it's like, let's let these people earn it first. Let's let them earn it. It's okay. Go earn it. Instead, it's, Cam, how confident are you? I'm a 10 out of 10. Oh, not just calling out how dishonest that is. It's unbelievable. Casey in Gallatin's all mad and says, Jared, this is such a petty thing to gripe about. I know you didn't ask him the question, but what does the media expect him to say when I ask that kind of stupid question? No player is going to say something like, well, I'm about a 4 right now. Do you want to see confidence in your quarterback, especially the number one pick overall? And you're going to sit here and complain about it? Get a grip on life, dude. Has anybody seen what Joe Flacco has been saying at Browns minicamp? You know, in the press availabilities he's done. Now, granted, Joe Flacco has a little bit more experience with doing all of this than Cam Ward does. But Joe Flacco, I even texted Derek about this because, you know, Derek was a veteran when Joe Flacco was a rookie in Baltimore and they've remained friends. And I'm like, this guy, like, he gets it. They asked Joe Flacco a question about being a mentor. And Joe Flacco was like, yeah, I don't really like questions like that because it kind of feels like either way, there's going to be a reaction to this that's negative. You know, if I say like, hey, you know, I'm not really here to be a mentor. I'm here to play quarterback. And my job is to be the quarterback. People are going to run with that and say, Joe doesn't want to be a mentor. And that's not true. It's going to make me look selfish. And if I say something like, yeah, I'm really excited to mentor these young guys, people are going to say, shouldn't you be worried about the next game? So there's really no good answer to this. And so the way I would put it, and this is Joe Flacco, he goes, the way I would put it is, I have a lot of experience. Maybe there are things that I have learned in the way that I conduct myself that if a young quarterback were to see, maybe they would interpret that and say, okay, maybe I should do that for me or not. But I hate these kind of questions. And he was asked about social media yesterday. And he had this great answer about TikTok and Twitter and everything else. And I'm like, man, Joe Flacco, he gets it. So when you say, hey, what do you expect Cam Ward to say? I never sit there and say, hey, you know, don't ask Johnny the question because what do you expect Johnny to say? Johnny's a grown man. Cam Ward's a grown man. He can say whatever he wants to say. What I would say in that instance, David Janes asked me the question. I haven't even prepared for what I'm supposed to say, but David Janes, go ahead, ask me the question, and I'll give you what I think is an appropriate answer.
How do you feel about being a leader?
Well, I feel like when it comes to being a leader, I just worry about making sure that I'm going out there and doing what I'm supposed to do. And if that means that other people can see that and say, okay, I want to be like that, then that's great. And if that means that at times, if other people aren't doing what they're supposed to do, that's going to help us be successful, then we've got to get to a point to where everybody is trying to do what it takes to be successful. And I don't think that there's one person or one coach or one player that's going to define whether or not we do that well for our team. Is that hard? Was that controversial? Don't think so. How confident are you? Well, look, I've been through a lot in my career to get to this point, but I'd say that right now this is just the beginning. And so I'm very excited to hit my first training camp, and I'm very excited to go in right now and watch the tape of what happened today at practice. How hard's that? How hard is that? In all seriousness. One texter says, that is something cocky that I would expect Shedeur Sanders to say. Cam is fitting right in with the toxic positivity, the Callahan runoff effect. And if I'm Callahan and I hear that, I am putting him in a spot to fail so that he'll lose all confidence to see how he responds. Got to humble him and know that he isn't Superman so that he will take to the coaching. I don't think these guys plan on humbling Cam Ward very much. The game will humble him enough. Again, when it comes to Levis, like, Levis put out a... You know, Levis put out a mayonnaise video today. And I'm like, okay. You know, so some people never learn. But again, when it comes to confidence and everything else, like, you can't be confident about something you haven't done. One texter says, Jared, they asked him about his confidence, not what his confidence should be according to those around him. Also, your GPA is based in fact, while his perception of his confidence in himself has nothing to do with anybody else. He believes in himself and his talent, whether you want to spend a segment whining about it or not. LOL. He believes in himself and his talent. Again, what did the Belichick book say? You can't just go get confidence off the shelf. You can't just make yourself confident. But I guess Cam Ward knows everything with his incredible array of experience, and Bill Belichick, although Bill's done some crazy stuff lately, knows nothing. One texter says, would Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes say that they are confident 10 out of 10? Overconfidence and arrogance are not assets. Let me ask you guys this question. I think Mahomes is pretty good, right? Like, if Mahomes were to sit there and say today, you know what, if he were to go Barry Sanders on everybody and say, you know, I've had a nice career, but, and I made a bunch of money, but I've had enough with football. Guys, enjoy. Good luck, Andy. If Mahomes were to retire, he'd go right to the Hall of Fame. 5 years from now, everybody knows it. Do you think Mahomes was a 10 out of 10 in confidence in the second half of that Super Bowl? When he was getting pummeled the entire time? Go back and watch the Brady documentary. When they were down 28-3 in the Super Bowl, Tom Brady did not say, hey, I knew we were one play away from getting back in the game. Tom Brady said, at this point, I'm just looking up at the scoreboard saying, well, let's just try to close the gap as much as possible so it doesn't look like a complete and total embarrassment in the end. Would you say that was a 10 out of 10 in confidence? Again, when I hear, oh, I'm a gunslinger. Again, okay, Brett Favre. Remember last year when people were talking about Levis and the dumb stuff he was doing on the field? And it was like, well, Brett Favre does that. I remember that. So stupid. Oh. Oh, my goodness gracious. One texter said, but good news, he knows how to smack talk. Yeah, that is true. Again, he and Jeffrey Simmons vying for the Smack Talker of the Year award. You know, Simmons, he's so confident that when it comes to getting sacks, he can't do it. He just blames other people for why he can't. What a great culture. 615-737-1025, which is our phone number, 615-737-1025. Once again, confidence comes from doing. But there is one guy who I am starting to get a lot of confidence in. I am starting to become a huge fan of. And I think it will kind of shock you. We'll get to that next. I'm in a company, 1025, 106 for the game.
9-point lead. They get it in. J-Dub fires from 40. No good. And the Pacers hang on. They beat Oklahoma City 116-107 and have grabbed a 2-games-to-1 lead in the NBA Finals against the best team in the NBA all season long.
There you go. Indiana wins game three last night. And I know. I have been complaining and bitching about the NBA and the NBA finals for the last, I don't know, couple of weeks. And, you know, I get on Joe Rex Road because Joe's like, today's NBA is so much better than the NBA used to be. And every time he says that, every single person on the planet boos him. You know, it's like Joe gets on his NBA high horse. It's like, boo! And I'm still booing. I mean, the idea that the NBA is anything like it used to be, those dudes used to be tough. Now, not as much. But I'm going to say this. I did watch Game 3 last night. David James, did you watch Game 3?
I did.
I'm not surprised by that. But if it was somebody else or other people in that spot, I might be a little surprised. Not surprised that David James did. I have not seen the ratings yet for Game 3. Do we? Have we seen a? I know you probably haven't been looking for it, James, but have we seen the rating for last night?
I have not. I can double check, though, for you.
So I am kind of fascinated by this. I said I thought it was going to be 8.24 million. I actually think it's going to be, I think it cracked 9 maybe. We shall see. Let's see. Game two of the NBA Finals. Okay, so I don't see. Despite a close game and an unexpected outcome, the NBA Finals audience is the lowest for the second straight game as Thunder Pacers declines by 20%. Let's see what the... Okay, 9.19 million. So it cracked 9, which is better than it had been, and I expected that it would crack 9. Now, I figured it'd be a little bit higher than that because the game was so close last night. But after all the complaining and all the bitching I've done about the NBA, I'm not going to lie to you, I got into the game last night. I kind of had to watch it because I was on Sirius from 11 to 2 today, and I'll be on Sirius tomorrow from 11 to 2. And while I guess I probably could have talked football or other stuff, I mean, it really only made sense to be talking basketball after an NBA Finals game. 9 million people watched yesterday. I know it's not the same as a Sunday night football game that'll get 15 million or an NFL playoff game that'll get 50 million, but it's still the highest rated show of the day. So I watched the game last night in part because I kind of felt like I had to. I got into it. And I have gotten into the Pacers. And I'm going to tell you why I've gotten into the Pacers. I've gotten into the Pacers because I think I love this Tyrese Haliburton. And apparently, according to The Athletic, they did a player poll where they surveyed the players. And you always see this, like, which team would you want to play for? Which coach would you want to play for? Which stadium's a good stadium? And the most overrated player, according to The Athletic's player poll, was Tyrese Haliburton. And so when it comes to Tyrese Haliburton, all I know about this guy is that Tyrese Haliburton was voted as the most overrated player by his peers. And then I'm just kind of watching the playoffs, again, not super in-depth, but just from afar. And I see Tyrese Haliburton in Indiana beat the crap out of Giannis in the first round. They took out Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland in the second round. They beat the New York Knicks with Jalen Brunson and Karl Anthony Towns in the third round. And now this Oklahoma City team with the league MVP SGA on it and a team that, again, won something like 68 games in the regular season, rolled through the Western Conference, he's kicking their ass too. And I'm thinking to myself, how is this guy the most overrated player? If you think he's the most overrated player, then he actually might be the most underrated player because all the players think he stinks, and then he goes out there and he's just murdering them. I mean, he is the Michael Corleone of the NBA right now. And I watched that game last night. And again, all I ask for is good, competitive team basketball. That's it. I don't like super teams. I don't like that Miami Heat team with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh and LeBron. I don't like the crybaby stuff. I just want tough, competitive, physical basketball. That's all I want. And last night, that was a good competitive game. Now, it went on a little later than I would have liked because I think it ended around 10:30 or something, but I actually felt the intensity of the game was worth staying up for. And the better team won last night. The best player on the floor was Tyrese Haliburton. Again, the most overrated player, according to The Athletic's player poll. And so when it comes to the basketball bennies and all the finger wagging, Joe, all the finger wagging the basketball bennies have been doing over the last couple of weeks when it comes to this NBA final series, saying, if you don't care about this final series, OKC and Indiana, then you just don't like basketball. I believe that take is ridiculous. Again, I grew up during Michael Jordan, and I loved Michael Jordan so much so that I hated Kobe and Shaq because in 2000, in the Western Conference Finals, I was rooting for Portland because Scottie Pippen was on the Blazers. So I hated Kobe and Shaq, and I hate watched them, and I remember the wars that they had with with Sacramento and with Portland. And we later learned that that Sacramento series may have been cooked, you know, the books a little bit. But again, I hate watched Kobe, and then LeBron came in, and I liked LeBron in Cleveland, and then I hated LeBron in Miami, and then I liked LeBron again in Cleveland, and now I'm indifferent to LeBron in Los Angeles, and I liked Steph Curry, and then I hated basketball when Kevin Durant made it uncompetitive by going to Golden State. And so, again, I like college basketball. I like March Madness. I've worked in basketball. I've been on the radio in the number one college basketball market in America. I like basketball. So I don't want to hear from these Joe Rex Rhodes and Michelle Beatles and the basketball bennies out there that say, if you don't like this series, you don't like basketball. I like basketball just fine. I've always liked basketball just fine. But you got to give me a reason to watch. And until last night, I didn't feel like there was a really competitive reason to watch, you know, or I say competitive, compelling reason to watch. And game two was like watching paint dry. Last night, game three, that was an entertaining game. And this, again, this storyline that these players, and again, players don't know anything other than what it is they're supposed to do. Floyd once told me, I forget what Derek or Chris said. One of them said something crazy. And it was during a commercial break, and I looked at Floyd, and I said, Derek said today, or Chris said today, again, something crazy. You know I love them, but they say crazy things. And I said, they said this such and such. And Floyd looks at me and goes, yeah, players. He goes, players don't know. And then he said a word you can't say on the radio. Stuff. And I laughed. He's like, players know what they did. So when it comes to punt returning, Derek talks, he's like, listen to that. But when it comes to the technique of a right guard, he's like, players, they don't know. And considering that the ESPN player poll said that Josh Allen, the league MVP, was the most overrated player in a league that has Tua in it, tells me once again, these players, they don't know. These guys are going to tell me Tyrese Halliburton is the most overrated player. And then Tyrese Halliburton is going to go into the playoffs and light everybody up on fire. So now this has given me a reason to care about this basketball series and a reason to get excited to watch it because I am now a Pacer fan. I am now a Tyrese Halliburton fan. Again, keep sticking that foot up people's rear ends if they say you stink. I love it. You guys talk about that dog. Oh, he's got that dog in him. When you've got your entire group of peers telling you that you suck, even though you know you don't suck, and then you go out there and you light them on fire, that to me is something. That to me, that's stones. And so I'm in. I'm in on Halliburton. I'm now a Pacer fan for the next week and a half. And again, all I want when it comes to the NBA Finals and basketball, all I want is just a good, competitive, entertaining series. And at the beginning of this series, I saw a graphic on ESPN this morning. OKC was minus 700 to win the NBA Finals. This time yesterday, OKC was minus 550. This morning, they were minus 240. That tells me even though OKC is still the favorite, it is a competitive series, which again is what I want. Competitive basketball. That's it. Caleb says, it does not shock me that you're not a fan of Kevin Durant being a free agent and going to the best option he had and winning as good as that Warriors team was, he made them a top five team of all time, and it was because of KD, not Steph. Kevin Durant is the biggest crybaby in all of basketball. I'm sorry. You know, now he wants out of Phoenix where they didn't make the playoffs. Kevin Durant was at OKC, and they had a squad that went to Game 7 with Golden State, and then he basically put in the game genie and cheated their way to the top. Well, he was a free agent. He'd go wherever he wants. Right. Again, what am I asking for here? Competitive basketball. Agreed. I mean, hey, what's stopping all the best free agents from going to the same team? But I find that to be such a loser mentality. What if Jordan had left Chicago and joined the Pistons? We don't want that. So, yes, I hated it. And I thought for about a 4 or 5 year period, it really ruined the NBA. And I'm not sure the NBA has ever recovered. Again, right now, the NBA is drawing 9 million viewers. If you go back to what they were, LeBron versus Golden State, when it was a fair fight, it was like 30 million viewers. So I'm not sure they've ever really recovered. 615-737-1025, Stillman & Company, 1025 The Game. Stillman & Company, again, I did get into the NBA last night. I enjoyed it. I will be watching the Stanley Cup Final tonight, game number 4. It kind of feels like Edmonton has to win tonight. They're going back to Stuart Skinner and net. With Stuart Skinner, he either gives up 7 goals or he pitches a shutout. I have no idea what's going to happen tonight. I'll just say this. Last year, Edmonton got down 3-0. And they came back. And you know how I feel about momentum in hockey series, which is it doesn't exist. There's no momentum game to game. Just because you lost 18-0 yesterday means nothing for the start of the next game. It's never been that way. Home ice doesn't matter. None of that stuff matters. It basically matters who's going to score the first goal. That said, I kind of feel like if Edmonton doesn't win tonight, down 3-1, going back to Edmonton with this Florida team. These guys that have no pressure on them because they won the cup last year. These guys are stone cold killers. And not only that, but they picked up Brad Marchand and Seth Jones, and they picked up these guys to just fit in perfectly. Like, they're not asking Brad Marchand to save their team. They're asking him to be a third line pest and score some goals here and there, and it's working. They've asked Seth Jones, hey, just be the second guy on the first pair. And it's working. If they get down 3-1, it's over. And I want, like I said with basketball, I want a competitive series. So when it comes to hockey, I want a competitive series. That said, and I do not know what the odds are for tonight, but I am going to take Florida. And I'm going to take Florida, and I'm not going to expect them to win big because I think that this is kind of Custer's last stand. When it comes to the Edmonton Oilers, I don't think, even though they came back from down 3-0 last year, I don't think that they can, you know, finish the deal and do it again. I'll take Florida tonight, and I don't think we're going to have a fun, competitive Stanley Cup final. So we shall see. Also, William on the YouTube chat says, we have an NBA team here in Tennessee. Why are you a Pacer fan? I'm a Pacer fan right now in the NBA playoffs. I'm not an actual Pacer fan. I'm an Orlando Magic fan. Because my friend is in the front office there. But I am not like a real Pacer fan. I'm just rooting for the Pacers over OKC. That's it for us. We're out of here. Tomorrow, Fireball Hot Take Friday, 2 o'clock, Stillman & Company. We will see you then.